8 o'clock, Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy. Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network, all across the Western Slope. Here in the Valley, from Palisade to Junction to Fruita, 101.1 FM, 1340 AM. Or Hotchkiss and Cedar Edge, Delta, Olathe, Montrose, 102.1 FM. And you can always get the mobile app, download it from our website, theteam1340.com. And don't forget, when we do interviews on the show, we do post those individual interviews each day to our Twitter feed, Facebook, and our website as well. And then you can also get the full show, all 3 hours of it, at our website, theteam1340.com. I do want to mention that this from Paul Kane, District 51 Athletic Director, the Grand Junction Durango soccer match that was set for this Thursday, time change on that. It'll be at Canyon View at 3 o'clock. The JVs will play at 5 o'clock. So just a quick update on Grand Junction soccer this Thursday against Durango. And of course, tonight we'll have high school baseball on the team following the first game of the Rockies doubleheader with San Francisco today. Palisade scoring off against Fertile Monument. We'll have that game tonight. It's brought to you by Ken Richards, State Farm Insurance. All right, so today is May 4th. May the 4th be with you. Who's the empire? Who's the First Order? Who are the bad guys? You're a Colorado sports fan. Who are
your
the Stormtroopers?
Maybe.
You know what?
The Monforts?
Dykes, yeah. Not so much Stan Kroenke.
Brittany and Beth Bolin. Just pick one already.
Well, they have. It's Brittany. They just promoted her, too.
Pay her off. Give her $1 billion. Tell her to go away. Let's just be done with it at that point. Then you can fire people that need to be fired. And that's all.
I would want to. I'd like to think that Brittany Bolin is maybe more Luke Skywalker and Beth Bolin Wallace is more Darth Vader, but I don't know if anybody's clearly the good guy or bad guy in that scenario.
But they're siblings, so one would have to be Leia and one would have
to
be Luke.
They're right? Half siblings, actually.
Oh, okay.
Because Beth Bolin Wallace and Amy Klimmer were from Pat's first wife.
Right.
And then Brittany, John,
mm-hmm.
Blood of the City, they're all Annabelle's
he's
kids.
He's Jar Jar Binks.
Here we go. There's our Jar Jar Binks. John Bolin Jr. I'm the blood of the city.
The
blood of the city. Well, he's doing whippets of nitrous oxide, being a scumbag, beating up his girlfriend. Remember that time, John, when you were the guy as a front runner to be the guy to replace your dad with the Broncos?
Remember when you essentially had the keys to have something that was worth $3 billion?
Remember those days?
How's that working out for you now?
Yeah. Smart move. Way to go, X-Lax. Nice job.
Sister gives you $5 million to go away.
Just go away.
That's a little bit of a loss in revenue there.
Yeah.
Your
life was laid out for you, right?
Yeah. She just went ahead and sliced 3 zeros off your net worth. That's not good.
Man. Because you're an idiot. You did something horrible. You're a bad guy.
Yeah.
And then when your girlfriend calls the cops on you for beating her up, you don't need to come here. You know, my family.
I'm the blood of the city. I wasn't the blood of the city call. That was his DUI arrest, wasn't it?
No.
No, that was something else.
No, that was...
Was it that?
The blood of the city was the call, because remember he...
I thought he did multiple stupid things.
His girlfriend... Well, I'm sure he did, but that's the one. The girlfriend, he was doing whippets of nitrous oxide.
Oh,
he was crazy.
Right.
He was smacking her around. She called the cops, and I think 911 might have called back or something, because I think he forced her to hang up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, there's no reason to come here.
It's okay.
I'm John Bolin. We know the Bolins. We own the Broncos. We're the blood of the city. And so, yeah, that was that deal. Anyway, nice job. Smooth move.
Yeah.
Losing your chance
to
run the Broncos. All right, 8:05. So who makes up the Empire? Who makes up the First Order? Who makes up the Rebels? The Rebel Alliance? If you're a Colorado sports fan, 970-242-1340. Where does Manning fit in there? Is he like Han Solo a little bit?
Kinda. Yeah, he's probably Han Solo.
Or is that Elway? Super cool guy. Eh. Cool guy, but bit of a rogue. But not Manning's not really a rogue. He's funny. I don't think PFM necessarily has a roguish charm like Han Solo had.
Oh, you watch it back, though. Han Solo is a jerk in the first one.
He has roguish charm, as the ladies would like to say.
Jerk.
Okay, he is a jerk.
He comes around, but...
But
man alive,
initially, yeah, it's all about, what are you going to pay me? When are you going to pay me for doing this thing? All right, 806. Text or call us today, 970-242-1340. Get over to the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line.
Very good this morning, too, by the way. It was good.
Andy, Chiefs fans of the Evil Empire. Al Davis will always be Palpatine.
Mm-hmm.
But Palpatine and Al Davis passed on the cloak to Bill Belichick.
Slight difference, though. Palpatine dies at the very end.
Elway is Skywalker, according to Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Raheem freaking Moore is Jar Jar Binks. Me no play ball well. Ball go over my head.
Mesa Noah wanna cover that the guy.
Oh. See, Dom, Charlie Blackman is Jar Jar Binks. Because he's a lovable goofball.
Jar Jar's not lovable. Jar Jar's annoying. Oh, man.
See, Drew Locke is like Luke Skywalker in Empire Strikes Back. It's because the hope we had in him and he lost his hand.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's the same way he can pull himself back up and win. Let's hope so. Scott, good morning, fellas. Our Darth Vaders are unfortunately our own team owners, the Bolins and the Montforts.
Nice, I like that.
We just mentioned that. Mike from Scottsdale has Roger Goodell as Palpatine. Does Raj hold that kind of level of...
I don't think he holds that kind of power. He's more one of the admirals on the Death Star.
He probably would be. Jamie this morning. No Zephyr. Oh, thank you.
Oh, we missed the Zephyrs.
Missed the Denver Zephyrs. From CSU grad, or son of CSU grad, Eric.
Yep.
Andrew. Jokic is Chewy and Murray is Solo. That's good. Those are good. Those are solid today. Keep sending those in, 970-242-1340 on this May the 4th be with you. Just kind of nerding it up today. Chris Hanks coming up at 8:40 this morning, the skipper of the CMU baseball team. All right, we usually start at 8 o'clock hour, mm-hmm. talking some NFL. And Terry Bradshaw, of course, you know, the original TB12.
Yeah.
Offered up his thoughts about one Aaron Rodgers.
I'm sure they're super positive, knowing his generation.
Oh, it's totally supporting Aaron Rodgers here.
Yeah.
You know the Bradshaw. You know the blonde bomber. Can you still call him the blonde bomber when he's almost totally bald? Well, he is bald now, just the hair on the sides. I guess the hair on the side is still blondish.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan clung to that. That's still true. Clinging to that blonde hair.
Okay. Well, Bradshaw was on WFAN in New York. And he was asked about the Aaron Rodgers situation, and he said, with him being that upset shows me how weak he is. Who the hell cares who you draft? I mean, he's a three-time MVP in the league, and he's worried about this guy they drafted last year at number one. And for him to be upset, my God, I don't understand that. Pittsburgh drafted Mark Malone number one. Cliff Stout in the third or fourth round. I had them coming at me from all angles. I embraced it because when we went to practice, I wasn't worried about those guys, you know? They didn't scare me a bit, so I don't understand why he's so upset at Green Bay. And then if they fire the GM, he'll come back. Are you kidding me? Really? Aaron, that's where this is. Okay, it's a little more than that. It's not necessarily just about love and about him being drafted
right
to replace Aaron Rodgers. It's here's a quarterback that has, you know, three-time MVP now, your reigning MVP, has won a Super Bowl for you, continues to put up elite numbers, and you went out and, did you go out and draft a wide receiver to help him out? You know, to get over that final hump, to get to the Super Bowl? No, you drafted his replacement. You didn't do anything to help him while he is still one of the an upper tier, one of the very best quarterbacks in this league. A difference maker for any team he plays for. And it's about that. That's part of the problem here. It's about they made the decision not to go out and get him help.
Right. And let's look at the correlation between Terry Bradshaw's team and Aaron Rodgers' team. Is there any other Hall of Famer on this Packers team other than Aaron Rodgers right now? Probably not.
No.
But if you were even on the roster in the 70s for the Steelers, they give you a gold jacket. I played 6 games for the Steelers in 1974. Oh, here you go. Here's a gold jacket. So let's calm down with this. You know, I wasn't worried. I'm pretty sure you might have been with Mark Malone because they probably could have plug and played the quarterback with at least 2 of those teams. Franco Harris, Lynn Swann, John Stallworth.
Yeah, that defense.
Steel Curtain defense.
Mean Joe Green.
Yeah. They probably could Johnny have Shell, won I with mean, Mark Malone as the
Ham, Lambert.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Really?
I wasn't worried. You probably were. At least one of those.
I mean, look.
If you weren't worried, you'd have more hair.
The only thing Mark Malone had going for him is he looked like Tom Selleck during the heyday of Magnum P.I.
Yeah.
Cliff Stout challenged for the job a little bit, but never really got it. And then he ended up going to the United States Football League and playing there in the early 80s. You know, some of the stuff with Rodgers, too, is he was unhappy. Remember they cut Jordy Nelson a couple of years ago? He wasn't happy about that. That's something that upset him.
That's what I do not agree with Rodgers on. Because I understand your boys, but what did Jordy Nelson do after he left?
Not much.
They got out early on that one.
Yes, they did.
They punched out at the right time on that particular crash landing. So I understand some of his frustration. I'm not 100% totally on board with Aaron Rodgers, but I think Terry Brett with this shows me how weak he is. Colin, just stop with that. That's, again, we guys in my era were much tougher. Just stop. Doesn't mean you were any smarter.
Well, look, my respect for Terry Bradshaw, I'm going to be honest, isn't that high.
If he just does Sunday afternoons on Fox, he's fine. But anytime he opens his mouth after that, it just chips away a little bit at it.
I've just always, I've always taken what he has to say. I've always felt like watching him on the Fox pregame that does any prep go into this?
No.
For him?
He's a caricature. Now. I mean, early, 15, 20, 25 years ago, it was different. But he's fallen into a shtick and a character that if he were to prep and start breaking down, you know, teams, people would freak out because that's not what Terry Bradshaw does.
You know, one of the other players that came up, Jake Kumerow, that was a tight end for the Packers.
Okay.
That
I'll take your word for
once
that.
Once again, one of those players that Rodgers kind of liked. You know, wasn't obviously a go-to guy, but, you know, backup tight end that he had a little bit of a rapport with.
Yeah.
And they released him, ended up going to Buffalo. The report I was reading, that really ticked Rodgers off. Why didn't you come to me and talk to me about that? And now we're getting into Russell Wilson territory, right? Where I want to be involved in personnel decisions. And that's where I start to part company with Aaron Rodgers in support that I'd have for him. Personnel decisions are not his job. If they come to him and say, hey, look, you know, what do you think of so-and-so and keeping this guy or whatever, and that's part of an evaluation process with a quarterback and a receiver, okay. But they don't have to run everything through him. Likewise, the deal with Russell Wilson. I get it, those guys feel like they've been there, they want to be heard, they've been the face of the franchise, and should there be some level of, hey, if you're the GM, head coach, hey, what do you think about this? About something that pertains to their position, right? I get that. I understand that. And I think that's acceptable and understandable. But for you to whine and cry about any time a guy gets cut by a team, like the Jordy Nelson situation, like the Kumerow situation, come on.
I mean, and even Jordy Nelson's one thing, but Kumerow? What? I'm looking, 33 targets? 32 targets as a Packer, 20 catches.
But I read that the other day, that he was very upset, Rodgers was, that they let him go. It's fine to be involved in the success, participating in the decisions and success of the football team. But they don't have to run every single thing by you or me here. Not that we're Aaron Rodgers by any stretch of the imagination. Nobody has that kind of if you're a player and you've been there a long time, I understand that you want to feel appreciated and that you're valued, not just what you do on the field. But you and I have been here a very long time. They don't run everything by us.
They don't run anything by me. Personnel-wise, then.
No. And that's fine because...
I'm not on that level.
Because that's not what we're here to do. We're here to do this.
I think...
Like I said, is it appropriate to talk to him about guys, hey, we're going to let him go, or what do you think about so-and-so in our evaluation process? But not, I've got to get him to sign off on it. It shouldn't be Aaron Rodgers signing off on... Yeah, I think it's okay to release him. Well, no, we've got to keep him here.
I think
that's not appropriate.
His love for Jake Kumerow was to try to get his cousins to not chase him down, because Jake Kumerow's grandfather, Palmer Pyle, NFL player, great uncle Mike Pyle, father Eric Kumerow, and his uncle John Bosa has a couple of boys in the league.
Okay. Good job.
Joey and Nick Bosa.
Good job.
Family. So there's six relatives, blood or marriage, from Jake Kumerow that have been in the NFL.
All right. So on this Rodgers theme, by the way, Jim with the Buckeye Boy today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network, that the cap space is important, right? If you're going to bring in Aaron Rodgers, and looks like, according to Over the Cap, the Broncos currently sit at $25 million in cap space. Obviously that number's going to come down once they start signing this draft class. But as of right now, that's right now where things are with that particular situation with the cap prior to obviously getting those players signed. Also, there's a report on Mile High Report today that the Broncos gave serious consideration into trading back in the first round. That they were looking at trading back into the first round, look to get back in for Jalen Phillips, the Miami edge rusher. And Phillips ended up going to the Dolphins 18th overall. But the feeling was if Phillips had started to slip into the 20s, that George Payton was going to try to find a way to get back into the first round to get him.
I don't know if he would have been worth what you would have had to give up.
I don't think so. I don't.
He's a good player, but I don't know if he's generational, right?
According to the report, things got interesting. Payton, who hurriedly called for a phone charger midway through the first round. I guess that this phone is ready to crap out.
Is this your first draft?
Come on, George.
Come on, man.
That baby's got to be fully charged.
Buy a charger for the office.
That he really wanted the Miami edge rusher, Jalen Phillips. And he had assumed he would go in the top 15. When he didn't, Payton started considering getting back into the first round. That some preliminary conversations with teams that had picks in the mid-20s and early 30s. One of those went to Gutekunst.
Oh, yeah.
The Packers, the beleaguered Packers GM, because they had the 20th pick. And they were open to trading out of the first round at that time. And apparently, Payton chose not to bring up Rodgers in that conversation. So when the Dolphins pick Phillips with the 18th pick, that's when things got shut down there.
Is that the same as Gettleman going, we're not going to get involved in that? But as when asked about Rodgers, or not right. Gettleman, who it was somebody, a GM was asked about Aaron Rodgers, and they're like, we're not going to get into we're not going to meddle in other teams' affairs or whatever
right.
the comment was. It's like, no, you're the GM. You're supposed to meddle.
That's what you're supposed to. That's what you're getting paid to do. All right, one final thing before we take a break. The Athletic today, they have the beyond the top 10 draft picks, more new NFL rookies with breakout potential. And they have guys listed like Rondale Moore, the wide receiver the Cardinals drafted, Micah Parsons and Jabril Cox that the Cowboys selected, Asante Samuel Jr. that the Chargers drafted, Javonte Williams, the North Carolina running back, of course, taken by the Broncos, round two, that the feeling is from the Athletic that he could be one of those guys that doesn't necessarily step into a starting role but gets an awful lot of playing time in his first year.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people love that pick. Not just in Broncos country, but a lot of national pundits loved that pick for the Broncos.
Better receiver out of the backfield than Phillip Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
More physical runner, bigger size.
Yeah.
That
sadly not from Denver.
Yeah, but yeah.
So what are they going to talk about?
No kidding.
How are fans going to embrace
Warren Jackson? You got to get right. Got to embrace Warren Jackson.
Yeah. How are fans going to embrace Williams? He's not from Denver.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
Very physical runner. Yeah. I don't be surprised Javonte Williams ends up supplanting Melvin Gordon as the starting running back.
Oh, he should at some point, absolutely. Yeah, first year, yeah.
We could see that happen in the first year.
I wouldn't be surprised, but at some point, absolutely, because they talk about, you know, he's physical, but he's not reckless.
Right. All right, 8:22, we'll take a break and we'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Craptastic.
That's just crap.
The team presents the Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Welcome back, 8:25. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. It is May 4th. May the 4th be with you. So if you're a Colorado sports fan, who makes up the empire, the First Order, the bad guys? And who are the guys on, the good guys on your side? You know, in the past, the Elways, obviously the Todd Heltons, now, you know, the Trevor Stories. Hopefully Drew Locke does not end up like, you know, Maybe hopefully things end up like this for Drew Locke, like Luke Skywalker, Empire Strikes Back. Dom referenced it when he got his hand cut off by Darth Vader. But he comes back and helps to lead the rebellion. Maybe Drew Locke will have that kind of journey in front of him. Text or call us today, 970-242-1340. All right, we need to get to a little stadium cinema brought to you by 357 Reloaded.
New York sports TV shows and movies? Let's play Stadium Cinema on the Team.
All right, your chance to win a gift card to 357 Reloaded. Great place for breakfast, lunch, or dinner in the Peachtree Shopping Center in Clifton.
Sorry, fell skied.
Good job.
Didn't turn my mic on, I know. I'm a pro, I've done this before. I want this movie.
Hey, coach, why don't you quit so we can get us a real coach?
First correct answer wins today on the text line, 970-242-1340. All right, Jeff Prowitz is joining us today from CDOT, talking busting. Jeff, I appreciate the time. Thanks for coming in today.
Well, thank you.
You can get that mic just a little bit closer to you. There we go. All right, appreciate you stopping. You said this is your first trip out of Denver since COVID began, right?
Well, I did take a little trip to Trinidad, but it's a little nicer coming out here.
Well, we're glad to have you out to talk about busting. So right now with busting, have a new mobile app so people can use this app to book their trip on Bustang. Tell us more about the new app for Bustang.
Yes, it's called the Masabi app, and of course it's available on the various app stores or through ridebustang.com, and we'll direct you to it. But basically it's a completely touch-free, paperless application for buying your tickets. It's all on your phone. So you just, once you get signed up, you want to buy a ticket or multiple tickets, you just go into the app and do it. You get to the bus, show it right to the driver. He doesn't have to touch anything. It's all visual. And then you're on your way. Plus, it stores your tickets if you get out of Wi-Fi or cell range, so, which happens on some of our routes, obviously going like over Lizard.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's now available for passengers to plan their trips on Google Transit. So you can do it with the app, correct?
Yes, we're on Google Transit. It'll have all the fares and everything there. And, of course, we got our website, Facebook, a bunch of different ways you can check us out.
Jeff from CDOT joining us today to talk about Bustang. And of course, Mustang, the perfect way to go to Denver, go to the Front Range, go all across the state. Far as Mustang, how long has it been in service now, Jeff?
The original Mustang, which was like Denver to Grand Junction and then the Front Range on I-25, has been in business since 2015, and it's been very successful. Of course, we had to reduce some when COVID came in here, but we were running 7 round trips daily on to each destination. And so in 2018, we went to Mustang Outrider, which also serves Grand Junction, and that's more rural transit. It's goes from Durango through Telluride to Grand Junction, and in August, we're starting a second trip that just goes Telluride to Grand Junction. It gives people a little more time in Grand Junction as opposed to the Durango trip, which pretty much just turns around because of driver's hours, which is good for connections, but not so good for visiting stuff in Grand Junction.
Right, so if you're looking to take a trip and you don't want to drive, you want to save yourself some, money to pay for gas, things like that, you can get, of course, the app for Mustang. And once again, Jeff, how can they get the app? Where do they get information about Mustang?
Well, the app's available on the Apple and App Stores and the other one. I use an iPhone, so I kind of block out the other one.
Sure, and it's Google Play probably.
Yeah, and we're also have RideBustang.com, where Google Transit, Facebook, Twitter, and we also have a text messaging service you can sign up to. It'll give you updates and all that too, especially if you do buy a ticket and say the bus has some problems on Lizard Head with snow or something, running 10 minutes late, you can be texted and let you know that we have.
Nice thing to have on your phone if you use Mustang. Hey, Jeff, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much for coming in today. All right, Jeff Proetz with CDOT joining us today, talking about Mustang and the new app. Make sure you check that information, of course, at the CDOT website. All right, it's 8:30. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. We'll talk with the skipper, Chris Hanks, head coach of the Colorado Mesa baseball team, coming up in just a little bit. All right, we mentioned that the Rockies will play two today over at Coors Field. Yesterday, getting weathered out against San Francisco. And so the Rockies will play those two games with the Giants today. We'll have the first game right here on the team with pregame at 3 o'clock. But the Rockies announcing yesterday that they have hired their interim general manager. And I don't think any surprise on who they put in this spot. The guy that's been with this organization since 2007, and that is Bill Schmidt. He's been the team's vice president of scouting since 2007. And in a release by the Rockies, they say that Schmidt will be in full control of baseball operations. Keep in mind, he is not the permanent general manager. He will be the interim GM until they decide to hire a full-time GM after the season comes to an end. So, like I said, guy's had some experience, knows the organization.
A little bit, yeah.
He's keeping the seat warm, right? Would it surprise you if at the end of this, the Bill Schmidt ends up being the GM? Would it shock you at all?
No, not at all. Because that's the Rockies thing, and that's one thing we've heard about Dick Monfort is his loyalty. He promoted one of his guys to be the president of the entire operation, and Bill Schmidt is another guy that they don't have to get to know. They don't have to do the digging. He's in the office already. Might as well. It's the same thing they did with Breidich after Dan O'Dowd.
Like I said, guys in the organization, this is a temporary thing. Okay, fine. But why do I just feel like that Dick Monfort's going to say, you know what? Boy, I feel we've known Bill a long time and feel really comfortable with Bill.
Yep.
And that it just makes a lot of sense. He did such a good job as the interim GM that we're just going to keep him in that spot. Greg Fiesel, who's now the team president,
mm-hmm.
who has 0.0 baseball experience. And his statement, Bill's experience and his relationships from top to bottom throughout our organization, including the players, coaches, and staff in the field, more than qualify him for this role. I just feel like they're setting the stage to just say, why do we need to look outside? We got a guy. And this is not a knock on Bill Schmidt.
No.
I don't know Bill Schmidt. I just know that if you're trying to shake up this organization, you're trying to chart a new course for the Colorado Rockies organization. The Fiesel hire doesn't make that happen. And if you keep Bill Schmidt as the GM, that doesn't make that happen either. What did the Broncos do? They went outside. They got somebody else. They got somebody to provide a fresh perspective. And the Rockies could learn a lot from what the Broncos are doing.
Yeah.
Go get somebody else. Get somebody that hasn't been with the team. And I'm fine as the interim right now. That's fine. Okay. I get it. Makes a lot of sense. But I'm going to be intrigued to see when they get to the point, Brio, where they start looking at hiring guys, at actual candidates for this job, who are they going to look at? And are they ultimately going to say, well, Bill Schmidt certainly met all of our criteria. He's a guy we've worked with, we know well, we like him a lot, and we're just going to stay with Bill Schmidt.
There was an article in The Athletic. I think it may have been Nick Groke. It may have been somebody else. Talking about the likelihood, the candidates for the job and the likelihood they're going to take it. All of the in-house candidates, like a Schmidt and a couple other guys, were the most likely. Not because of their acumen, not because of how good they would be at the job, but because they're already in-house. And that's fine what Fiesel said. I think it was Fiesel, the quote you read.
Right, it's Fiesel.
About his relationships with the current players make him... What does that have to do with it? Yeah, it pays to have a good relationship, but that doesn't make him a better fit than anybody else. It makes him better than Jeff Breidich, sure. Because Jeff Breidich didn't have very good relationships with the players, but that was more of a Breidich problem. It's like, he knows the players. Great.
That's fine.
The problem with the Rockies is not the fact that they don't know who they're running out there every day. It's the fact that they've not gone out of the organization to hire anybody in the front office in 30 ever. Dan O'Dowd was part of the Indians front office, and then did he come over in the expansion, or did he come over a little bit after that?
I think he came over after that,
but
I believe.
But from when they went, since the Monforts have owned the team, they've not gone outside the organization for a GM. Dan O'Dowd was fired. The guy down the hall was... They just moved his stuff into the bigger office. That's all they did.
Came to the Rockies in 99.
Oh, okay. So he was not right at the inception.
They're a few years in.
That's now 22 years they have not gone outside of the organization to hire a GM. And it's an organization that's got, four playoff appearances in that time frame. 7, 9, 17, 18. That's it. What good is anybody in the organization going to do at this point? It's just frustrating.
I agree with everything. Bob Gebhard was the first guy there.
Yeah.
But where did Bob Gebhard come from? He came from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do in Minnesota? Help them build World Series champion team in 91.
And the only reason that he came from outside of the organization is because there was no organization.
Because he was there building it from the ground up from day one.
Then O'Dowd came from the Indians, and then Breidich was promoted in O'Dowd's stead. And, the success, we talked about it when Breidich stepped down. We've talked about it for years. The success of the Rockies in 17 and 18 under the GM of Jeff Breidich was not Jeff Breidich's team. He didn't put that together. He didn't draft hardly any of those guys. Those are all O'Dowd drafts. He drafts worse than John Elway. He drafts and develops worse than John Elway.
Well, let us just hope that while Bill Schmidt might be a fine guy and a good gentleman and knows his stuff, that they look outside and it's not just, he's been here, we know him, and we're going to stick with him because we have a comfort level with him. I'm just afraid of that moving forward. A couple of other things about the Rockies. Antonio Sensatella moved to the 10-day injured list with a right groin strain. And so, as we mentioned today, trying to figure out who's going to start today.
Mm-hmm.
Yolis Chacin is a possibility. Remember, this is a guy that had started previously for this ball club. Also, Carlos Estevez on the 10-day injured list as well. And so they have... brought back Sam Hilliard to fill that spot. on the Rockies roster. And also, according to The Athletic, the entire Rockies team has been vaccinated for COVID-19.
Yeah, one of the first in the league to be 100% vaccinated.
Right. All right, 838. Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy, text or call us 970-242-1340. Do we have a winner yet for Stadium Cinema?
Yes, we do. JT correctly identifying Wildcats.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of that contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Before, after, it still works.
It's JT correctly identifying Wildcats.
Very good. Nicely done.
Thank you.
All right. Text or call us 970-242-1340. And Chris Hanks, coach of the Colorado Mesa Mavericks baseball team, coming up in just a couple of minutes. All right, let's quickly get into...
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Oh. Where is my button? There we go. Sorry, my bad.
Start out with the NBA. Ja Morant calling out the referees after being ejected from the Grizzlies game, their loss to the Knicks on Monday night. Morant apparently called one of the officials a clown and got tossed.
He's not wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not wrong.
But should you really call him a clown? Really?
No, but, you know, when you're right, you're right.
I'm going to leave it at that. All right, second down. Apparently, Jose Canseco really cares about what's going on in Alex Rodriguez's world. He's been doing that for a long time.
Okay.
It's kind of creepy, to be quite honest.
Uh-huh.
You know, Rodriguez and J-Lo, they recently ended their engagement, and now it sounds like she's hanging out with Ben Affleck again.
Oh.
But, and of course, we've had Bill and Melinda Gates announce they're divorcing after 27 years. Canseco wrote, Melinda Gates and Alex Rodriguez will be publicly dating by the end of the summer. I'm taking that very tongue-in-cheek from Jose. Maybe those roids have totally fried his brain. I don't know. I'm just not seeing J-Rod and Melinda Gates getting together anytime soon.
Yeah, that's a hard pass on that one. That's not at all going to happen.
Okay, third and fourth down.
So you're aware of the whole Super League debacle
right.
in Europe. And there's the Glazer family that used to own or still do own the Bucks that own Manchester United. And they had to have a match called off the other day because of protests on the pitch. And there are also some protests on Twitter attacking the Glazers. And not part of the Glazer family, but apparently one of the targets is Jay Glazer, the NFL insider.
Wait a minute.
Dude is getting rolled on Twitter, and he has to come out like every day. I am not an owner of a team. I am not an owner of Manchester. I'm not even related to that Glazer family.
I'm different
the
bunch.
It is just absolutely getting rolled. It's
leave me alone.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. And then I had one for fourth down, but I didn't write it down, and I have forgotten it. So that,
all right.
That really kind of sucks. Looks bad there.
Super. Yeah. Okay. But, well, 8:42. We will take a break and we'll come back. Chris Sanks, skipper of the Colorado Mesa baseball team, will join us next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
It's a good show.
By the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, the team. Talking Mavs with the skipper, Chris Hanks, on the Jim Davis Show.
.845, and joining us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, coach of the number one team in D2 baseball, Colorado Mesa coach Chris Hanks. Chris, I appreciate the time.
You betcha. I'm happy to be here, Jim.
Well, it's great to have you here, Skip. Weekend off last weekend, not certainly a planned off weekend for your Maverick baseball team, but Colorado Christian had the positive COVID-19 test, so that series has been moved back. So how did you utilize what was an off weekend for your baseball team?
Well, on Saturday, we suited the guys up in uniforms, and we made two teams, and we let them fight it out, and it was quite a battle.
So who came out on top? How did this come together? How were the teams picked? who coached each team? How did it all work out for you guys playing, well, I guess, yeah, against yourselves this past weekend?
Yeah, well, I split the teams up. You try to make them as even as you can. We have a Cardinal and Black team, and then we more or less let the kids decide when they're going to steal, hit and run, do whatever. And, you know, you give them some control, and they take over, and it becomes highly competitive.
I would imagine so. The perfect way, though, to kind of, you know, make it seem like a normal weekend for your ball club, as best you can do.
Yeah, and the best situations are the roommate matchups where a pitcher and a hitter that are roommates match up, and, oh, boy, I'll tell you, the smack talk starts being laid down big time.
Which one was the most competitive of those pitcher-hitter matchups of roommates?
Well, Austin Lorenz, left-handed pitcher, against Matt Turner at a big moment, and Lorenz struck Turner out and then flexed all the way off the field, you know, and walking right at his roommate, and the roommate, Matt Turner, just has to duck his head and run back to the outfield.
Oh, man. That's great. It's a great way to spend the weekend. Like I said, you have an off weekend, and guys get to keep those competitive juices flowing against each other this past weekend. Chris Hanks, coach of the CMU baseball team, with us today on the Team Sports Network. And Chris, as I mentioned, your team's still the number one team in the nation in D2 baseball. And just when you look at some of the offensive numbers, they just continue to be as good as your pitching staff is. This offense for your ball club this year has been truly remarkable. You lead the nation in batting average. And Hayden McGarry is the top hitter in D2 baseball right now. Boy, just another example of how good this team is offensively in 2021.
Yeah, we're leading in quite a few categories right now. You know, I'm always guarded with that because, you know, hitting can be volatile. It's very dependent upon the guy on the mound and, you know, how well he's pitching. So offense from time to time can come and go, but these guys have been pretty steady all year, and we do have a dangerous lineup, I think. You know, we have eight guys in the lineup that can hit it out of the park at any time. We got some speed mixed in there, and most of the kids are very good drag bunters. So, you know, we can pose that threat. And, you know, overall, we're pretty darn tough to strike out.
No doubt about that. Chris Hanks, coach of the CMU Mavericks baseball team, with us on the Team Sports Network. And you got the sweep against New Mexico Islands. Then you guys hopped in the buses, went over and played Regis. We talked about that last week. And, you know, completing a 6-0 weekend for your ball club. Now you get ready to go to Pueblo to take on CSU Pueblo. And, you know, right now in the standings, it's, you know, certainly it's CSU Pueblo's not having the kind of year that we're used to. They're 11-16 right now, 13-18 overall. It's a ball club that is certainly not played to the level of baseball we've seen in the past, Chris, from that Thunderwolf squad.
No, but I'll tell you, they have three arms that are dangerous, that are good arms. We are familiar with them. You know, they have the ability to hold you down if they're on. But they have a new coach, gentleman who was the pitching coach at Central Missouri 2 years ago when we played them at the World Series. So he's a little bit familiar with our program. He's new to the conference. You know, so with the rivalry over the years involved, we expect to battle, and we're going to have to assume that they're going to play their very best.
They're fourth in ERA in the conference right now. And, you know, right now you look at it, they're a 7.02 ERA this season. You mentioned they've got some good arms. Brett Matthews is 5-1. Andrew Coverley is currently 3-1 right now. They also have Jaron Peterson that is 2-0. So they do have some guys that have gone out and pitched well so far this season for them.
Yeah, and I think in a lot of cases they haven't received the run support. But, you know, it can be a volatile thing. So, you know, what we have to do and what we always do every week is we really focus on ourselves and control what we can do and control our preparation and our mindset. And if this group of kids does that, then we're extremely tough to beat.
Mavs coach Chris Hanks joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Just give an update to Chase Hamilton. Where's Chase right now in getting back on the field?
Chase will be back this weekend. He scrimmaged this weekend in the inner squad. Looked pretty good. He's, I'd say he's at least 95% and probably by the weekend closer to 100. So I think we'll have him back, and so that's good news.
Planning him starting out this weekend or maybe starting one of the other games? How does that work? Is he going to start game two of the series? Or have you made a plan for him and his return?
I mean, I think right now our plan would be to get him back up on the horse, you know, get him back in there as soon as possible. So, you know, we have an interesting dilemma now because Jonathan Gonzalez has played so well in Chase's absence, and then Harrison Rogers has really caught fire with the bat. So we see a scenario, too, where we rotate those three to some degree based on the needs we have. You know, and this team is kind of built where guys understand that. We talk about it regularly. You know, we have that issue in the outfield where, you know, guys are going to watch a game or two, and it's not necessarily dependent upon their own performance, but what the team's needs are at any given time.
Yeah, you mentioned Harrison Rogers. He really has caught fire. You're right, hitting .391 right now for your ball club, and he has certainly done a nice job at second base for your ball club. Nice problem to have, though, right? You get a tremendous, you know, all RMAC shortstop back and Chase Hamilton, and you've had guys playing really well in that spot. And it's like you said, it's a nice problem. It provides some depth and some experience, obviously for some of those guys in that middle infield position.
Well, yeah, you know, and we've been playing with two basically COVID freshmen or redshirt freshman kids with Rogers and Gonzalez there in the middle primarily, and so those kids have really gotten a lot of experience at a young age in their class. So, you know, as I mentioned, we'll continue to play both those kids, and we'll mix Chase in there, and Chase is the older kid and the more experienced kid. But, you know, the depth is a good thing.
Mavericks head coach Chris Hanks joining us on the Jim Davis Show. You seem to be getting healthy at kind of the right time. 8 games left before the start of the RMAC tournament, and instead of that bye week from the end of the season to the tournament, you have that rescheduled CCU series. Now trying to keep guys healthy, rested into the RMAC tournament and get some of these hot bats that you have to rotate in. Is that kind of one where it's kind of a silver lining of the way the schedule is shaped up, that you have enough games to keep guys hot heading into the postseason?
Yeah, you know, we don't mind at all. You know, that original bye week obviously was designed in this strange year, you know, so that there'd be an opportunity to make up games if they were lost due to COVID or weather. And as it turns out, I think right now everybody's scheduled to play on that open weekend, with the exception of maybe Metro State. So, yeah, we're glad for that. It keeps you kind of rolling. We got this weekend off, so we got our rest, and, you know, we're ready to go.
All right, Chris, appreciate the time. That series starts at Rawlings Field in Pueblo. The Mavericks taking on the Thunderwolves. Doubleheader starts at 1 o'clock on Friday for that one. Chris, I appreciate the time. Thanks, and best of luck this weekend.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Take care. Chris Hanks, coach of the Colorado Mesa Mavericks baseball team, the number one team in Division II baseball.
I would have loved to have seen some of those roommate battles.
I've been fun.
Because you want to beat everybody, right? If you're competitive, you want to wreck your friends.
Absolutely. You want bragging rights.
Absolutely. That's why I am a very, very sore winner. Because I love the bragging rights.
And like I said, a great way for the guys to kind of keep in a game routine, if you will, to a certain degree of a weekend of going out and mm-hmm. scrimmaging and making it fun too for the guys. And like I said, just those roommate showdowns, a lot of fun. All right, 8:55. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Vince Smith, the head coach of the RMAC champion CME men's lacrosse team, will join us next hour on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.